Come on, let's go! It's time to get down.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind.
What is this?
It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Calvin.
Hey, 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 this is the Rockcast, and I am your host, Monty Calvin.
You're a kook!
So glad you could join me. I appreciate you taking time to download this thing and listen to me yak. And the other day, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it just seems like I'm doing the same segments over and over. I do the email segments, and I do the top 10 segments, and then I'll do a What's on TV segment, and I've just gotten burned out. So I thought what I'd do today is just a completely non-segment show. I'm just going to go from one thing to the next, and I think by the end of this episode, you will agree that this episode is completely different than anything you've ever heard.
Whatever, it's the same thing.
So I think I'll just kick things off with a comment about the last episode I did, and this one comes from Jay Richter. And he says, dude, the two broke girls segment had me rolling. Well done. Oh, and you also nailed Big Brother in a nutshell. It's a guilty pleasure of mine, too. Well, thanks, Jay. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Big Brother, and yet I hate it at the same time. And I really feel like it's almost fixed most of the time. There will be people who get voted out of the house because they're total a-holes, but then the producers of the show will miraculously find some way to get them back in the house a week later.
It's so rigged!
And yes, it was very depressing to find out that the TV series Two Broke Girls had been canceled. I mean, that show was simply amazing and hilarious. And if you don't believe me, well, just listen to this.
I can't believe we got hired so quickly. And I can't believe I'm a medium apron. And I can't believe I'm working for a corporate coffee place.
You see, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, I try to be funny on this show once in a while. And Lindsay and I make attempts at doing our little comedy skits occasionally. But you see, we are not professionals. And when you have a network TV show like Two Broke Girls, you have a staff of professional comedy writers. And it's then and only then that you can come up with pure comedy genius like this.
Hey, grande, double cap, non-fat.
Grande, double cap, non-fat. Meow, 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 meow.
Hey, venti, triple cap, no whip.
Venti, triple cap, no whip. Meow.
So as you can see, it's very depressing for me because I can try to be funny, but I will never be able to reach those heights. So all I can really say is I will really miss Two Broke Girls. Or to put it another way... If I'm being serious, though, the only thing less funny than Two Broke Girls is this recent trend of rock stars committing suicide. And recently we had Chester Bennington of Linkin Park kill himself. And I mean, what the hell is going on? These guys seemingly have it all, and yet they don't want to live. And I think for most people, including myself, it's very confusing. I mean, if I killed myself, I think most people would probably go, yeah, I kind of get it. His band was supposed to be huge in the 90s, but grunge came along and wiped all that out. And they struggled for years and never really got that well known. And he never made a lot of money, so he tried a solo career. And the label that signed him went bankrupt. And he just ended up kind of broke and pathetic. But when you look at Chester, I mean, I think their first album was a huge hit. They were playing in arenas and stadiums, and they must have just made unbelievable amounts of money. And I know he had a lot of drug problems and stuff like that, but they were about to go on this massive tour. And if it's me, you know, I'm just thinking maybe I'll just retire. If I don't want to go out and play stadiums or arenas, you know, I'll just maybe I'll go on vacation. Maybe I'll take some of that money, go to rehab, and then just go like on some trip to the Bahamas. You don't have to be a rock star. I mean, no one's forcing you. But instead, these guys just kill themselves and then leave their bandmates without careers and leave their wives and kids without a husband and father.
That's not good.
Now, when Chris Cornell committed suicide not too long ago, I was a little critical of him here on the Rockcast. And a few people got upset at me and all that, but I'm not going to be critical of Chester. Why? Because this time, Brian Head Welch of Korn was critical of Chester, and he's taken all the heat, so I don't have to.
Well, isn't that nice?
That's right. I don't have to say anything, because this is what Head Welch said. He posted on Facebook and said, "Honestly, Chester's an old friend and we've hung out many times and I have friends who are extremely close to him, but this truly pisses me off. How can these guys send this message to their kids and fans? I'm sick of this suicide shit. I battled depression and mental illness and I'm trying to be sympathetic, but it's hard when you're pissed. Enough is enough. Giving up on your kids, fans, and life is the cowardly way out."
Sounds a little judgmental.
So there you go. That's one man's opinion. And it's spoken by a person that had drug problems himself, but decided to get help, stick around, and be there for his family.
Oh, you can't judge. Don't judge. You know, we're not supposed to judge. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but we're not supposed to judge.
Now, as far as Chester, he will be missed. I was never a huge Linkin Park fan, but I did like a lot of their stuff. And the one song that I still love is One Step Closer. Everything you say to me, just one step closer to the edge. And I'm about to break, I need a little room to breathe. Cause I'm one step closer to the edge, I'm about to break. I find the answers aren't so clear. Wish I could find a way to disappear. Alright, got an email here from Gary Robb in Baltimore. And Gary says, "Hey Monty, how have you been?"
That is a very good question.
Well, Gary, funny you should ask, because about a month ago I was feeling fine, but one morning I woke up and my stomach was kind of hurting. And then it started hurting me so bad that I spent the whole day in bed. And the first thing that I thought was, oh my God, I hope this isn't a kidney stone. Because about a year ago, I had one of those things, and it was the worst pain I'd ever felt in my life. But I took some ibuprofen, and it seemed to help a little bit, and so I went on for a few days, but the pain kept coming back. And it would give me headaches, and I'd be nauseous, and this went on for 2 weeks. And so I finally went to the doctor, and I said, "Hey, can you give me an x-ray and tell me what's wrong?" And so he did, and he looked at the x-ray, and he thought I looked fine. And he decides, "Well, it must be something muscular. I'm going to give you a shot." But he also says, "I want you to come back in for some blood work." And so I did, and they checked my blood and found out that I'm diabetic. And it's not the hardcore diabetic thing where you have to give yourself shots, but it is type 2, and he basically told me, you've got to stop eating and drinking anything that you like. No soda, Gatorade, chips, candy, cookies, cake, pie, milk, cheese, pasta, rice, bread, nothing fried. And then before I left, he said, well, if you have to drink something, you could have some flavored water. And so I said, well, okay, I can try to do that, but the problem is my stomach still hurts. And so he said, okay, I'm going to get you an ultrasound lined up. And so I went in the next day, they gave me an ultrasound, and he calls me about an hour later and says, guess what? You've got a kidney stone.
Don't!
And so it took me 3 weeks before I figured out what was making me sick all this time. And so the next day I go see a urologist, and he tells me, before I can do anything, you've got to get a CAT scan. And so I go get that done, and he says, yeah, it's a kidney stone, all right, and it's so big, we're going to have to operate. So I went in for surgery, and this was my second time having this done. But unlike the doctor I had the last time, this one went up there with a scope and lasered that thing. And he was actually able to just go ahead and take the whole stone out.
This is a fascinating story.
So I'm glad that's all over with, but really unpleasant. And I posted something about it on Facebook, and I was shocked to find out how many people actually go through the whole kidney stone thing. I got about 100 comments on it, and most of them were dudes going, oh yeah, man, been there. And so I guess it's more common than I thought it was, but nonetheless, just a really horrible experience that I hope you never have to go through. But I'll tell you what, this whole thing with the kidney stones and the diabetes has just made me decide that I have got to get my act together. And so my goal this year is to cut out a lot of the crap I've been eating. But that stuff I never used to worry about. I just would eat and drink anything I wanted. I never gained a pound. But I guess I'm just getting to that age now.
He's old!
But I know a lot of you guys that listen to this show are in your 40s or 50s. So you know what I'm talking about. And I think a lot of you guys even have full-grown kids. As in, they're in college, or they're getting married, or in some cases, they're even having kids. But I kind of got a really late start on all that parenting stuff. And then when I married Lindsay, I became the stepfather for 2 young kids. And they're really good kids, but at the same time, they're kids. Which means you can't get away from them. They will always be there.
Huh?
And that may sound terrible, but, as a married couple, sometimes you have needs. And one of those needs requires that there are no kids around. And so as adults, Lindsay and I continually find ourselves trying to, let's just say, sneak away.
Ah!
Unfortunately, this rarely works because apparently the kids have some kind of radar. Because if we even think about having some kind of hanky-panky or shenanigans, there will suddenly be a knock on the bedroom door or a 10-year-old will suddenly appear.
Ah!
I'll give you an example. The other day we went shopping and Lindsay wanted to bring the kids with us for some reason. But while we were in the store, she found some clothes. And while the kids were over looking at toys, she says, hey, follow me. Let's go in the dressing room and you can help me try these on. And I'm like, okay. And we're walking toward the door of the dressing room when everything just kind of goes in slow motion. And I start thinking, just a few more steps. And we get within about 5 feet and I'm getting ready to stick my hand out for the knob of the door. When all of a sudden I hear, Mom! Well, needless to say, I never made it into the dressing room. I took a sharp left and acted like I had no intentions of going in that room with Lindsay. But oh, what could have been? I will never know. But I do know that kids were put on this earth to try and keep man and wife from having relations or eating food.
What?
I mean, they must have been. Because in order for me to even have as much as one cookie, I'm going to have to hide that in the man cave. But of course, now I'm not even supposed to eat one cookie, so I guess I really shouldn't worry about it. But I do find it kind of sad that as an adult, I have to hoard snacks in the basement.
You're just a bad parent.
So anyway, to answer Gary's question, that's kind of how I've been. But Gary in Baltimore also wanted to tell me that he had gone to 2 Iron Maiden shows recently. And unlike me, he was not disappointed with the set list at all. He said the first night was in Virginia, it was at a pavilion, and he said the sound was great and the band was great as always. The second night was at an arena in Philadelphia, and he said it didn't sound quite as good, but the band was still great. And so it sounds like Gary had a great time, and I did too when I saw him, but I just wasn't as happy with the set list. I mean, if I was going to pick out the songs for an Iron Maiden show, I'd have stuff off of Somewhere in Time. I'd want to hear Moonchild off of Seventh Son. And then I'd maybe pick something like Hooks in You or Tail Gunner. So that's Iron Maiden, and I always love seeing them live. And Lindsay and I go to a lot of concerts, but we also go to a lot of sporting events. Like, I love going to see the Kansas City Royals play baseball, even though they almost never win when I'm there. Even that season they won the World Series, we went to like 8 games that year, and I don't think they won one of them. And I think it's just me, I'm bad luck, but I still like to go. And I also like pro football, and I even like going to hockey games. But where I draw the line is soccer. I'm just not into it. And the other day, these people were having a barbecue party cookout kind of thing, and it was right across the street from a soccer stadium. And Kansas City has this professional soccer team called Sporting KC. And I hate the name of the team. I mean, at least they could have named it after something like, you know, the Bulls or, you know, whatever. But Sporting, I hate that. And so I've never gone. And we're at this barbecue, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, Monty, how would you like to go to the soccer game tonight?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, that's okay." But he's like, "No, really, I've got free tickets here, and your whole family can go. All you got to do is walk over there and go in and watch the game." And I'm like, "No, really, that's okay." And he says, "Really? I mean, you know, it's free. You don't even want to just go check it out?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good."
You jerk.
So if you had any doubts about my feelings about soccer, well, you know, I hope that clears it up.
You have to be a complete a-hole.
All right, I think I'll do a top 10 list now. And this one comes to us from our old friend, Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David says, "Hey, Monty, I have sent you my top 10 list of songs with galloping bass. I could make the whole list contain only Iron Maiden songs, but that would be no fun. So I am strictly only including one song per artist. The ranking is based on a combination of how prominent the galloping bass is and how much I like the song." And of course, David's list begins at number 10 with somebody whose name I cannot pronounce. It's Gio Accianino Rossanini or something like that. And whoever that is did the William Tell Overture, and apparently it galloped. However, at number 9, it is something I'm familiar with. It's Metallica with Battery. Number 8 is Asia with After the War. Number 7 is Dream Theater with the YTSE Jam.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm sure all of you prog nerds know what that is.
Running around with their pocket protectors and their white short sleeve shirts.
I, however, do not, so I will move on to number 6, which is Duran Duran, Planet Earth.
Never heard of them.
Now, number 5 is something that I love. It's a classic. It's by UFO, and it's called Lights Out.
Oh, yeah!
At number 4, well, you gotta have some Iron Maiden on a list that is about galloping bass. And David has Iron Maiden, The Trooper.
Iron Maiden? Excellent!
Number 3 is another one of my favorites of all time. It's The Scorpions with Love Drive. And I was thinking about that album the other day, and what a classic that is. I just loved every single song. It was amazing.
Down. I like to show why scorpions gotta sting.
Number two on David's list is Led Zeppelin with Achilles' Last Stand. And at number one, it's Heart with Barracuda. All right, well, cool list, David. Thanks for sending that. And since most of those songs were either classic rock or classic metal, why don't I give you a CD review right now of the new one from Accept. It's called The Rise of Chaos. Now, if you're 20 years old or younger, this is something that your dad listened to. But if you're like me, this is something that you listened to when you were in your 30s or 40s.
This is an especially big thing for people who are on Medicare.
But I still listen to Accept because I like them. However, I'm not sure how much I like this album. I love Wolf Hoffman's guitar tone and I love the riffs. But the lyrics are kind of cheesy and weird sometimes, and I'm just not sure how crazy I am about the songs. There's stuff on here that will remind you of Balls to the Wall because it sounds exactly like Balls to the Wall, but that's all right. Accept has a sound and they give their fans what their fans want, which is some unapologetic metal to the face. We'll be right back. All right, here's an email from faithful listener in Chicago, Jimmy G. And Jimmy has a few questions for me, and he says, "Hey, Monty, for live shows, do you use in-ear monitors or do you use the floor monitors?" Well, Jimmy, I'm not sure what we'll use in upcoming shows in the future, but I know back in the day we always just used the floor monitors. I've actually never used the in-ear monitors before, and I'm not even sure I'll like them. But if we somehow can afford to get them, then I'm willing to try. It does seem to be the way everyone's going these days, so, you know, I guess we'll see.
No one cares about this.
Jimmy's next questions are, do you use any hearing protection, and has decades of playing live music made you deaf? Well, for a long time, I didn't use anything. Back there when I was in, cover bands and The Awful Truth and all that, I'd just go on stage and play and just blow my ears out. And then on one of our first tours with Galactic Cowboys, I had a roadie that before one of the shows said, "Here, you need to use these." And he handed me these earplugs, and I was like, "All right, I'll try." And so I put them in that night, and I hated it. And it took me a long time to get used to it, and I still don't know that I'm totally used to it, because a lot of times I'll pull one of them halfway out. Because I'll be honest, I'm really driven by the volume and the feel of the whole thing, but I still know that I need to protect my ears, and they actually help me to hear myself sing. So I'm not totally deaf, to answer your other question. I've never had my hearing checked lately, but I'm pretty sure it's not good. And I'll tell you how I know that. It's because I've noticed that what is loud to most people is not loud to me at all anymore. And I can be laying in the bedroom watching TV, and Lindsay will walk in and say, "Could you please turn that down a little bit?" And I'm like, "What? I can barely hear it." So yeah, all the years of standing in front of my amp has apparently taken its toll.
I don't hear you!
All right, I think I'll do another top 10 list now, and this one comes from Paul Williams in Canada. And Paul lives in Nova Scotia, and he says he's a big Galactic Cowboys fan and can't wait for the new album. And Paul is a musician, he's a bass player, and he's got some rocker kids. And apparently they introduce him to new music all the time that he wouldn't have otherwise heard of, and so here is his top 10 list. It's top 10 artists my rocker kids have introduced me to. And it starts at number 10, Backtrack.
Who?
Number 9 is Code Orange. Yeah, I was checking them out on YouTube the other day. Pretty cool. Number 8 is A Day to Remember, one of my faves. Number 7 is Dance Gavin Dance. Number 6 is Being as an Ocean.
Say what?
Number 5 is Paramore. Number 4 is Balance and Composure. Never heard of them. Number 3 is Alexis on Fire. Number 2 is The Story So Far. And at number 1, it's Silverstein. Well, thanks, Paul. I've heard of a lot of those bands because I've always gone to Warped Tour every year. But for the first time in like 15 years, Lindsay and I just decided to skip it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
But Paul sounds like a cool guy with an open mind toward music. He says he really appreciates me turning him on to Ginger Wildheart. And he also wanted to check out my Crunchy albums, but since he lives in Canada, he didn't want to pay for the shipping charges and knew that I didn't really want to ship it. And so he said, "Hey, Monty, could you just send me the files?" He said, "I'll throw you a donation your way and I can just have the music today. And so I said, "No problem." And I've actually had some other people do that and it works out great. Just email me, tell me what albums you want, and I can put them in a Dropbox, and you can be listening to them tonight. You don't have to wait for a mailman or anything. They're just right there. Slap them on your computer and your iPod, and you're good to go. However, the Dropbox thing does not work quite as well with T-shirts, so keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, good one. I never thought of that.
Paul also sent me a Rock or Not. And he said, hey, Monty, rock or not, baby metal.
Who the hell is that?
Okay, well, I've actually got a baby metal CD, and so let's play a little bit of it for anybody that's never heard of them. So that's what baby metal sounds like, but do they rock or not? Well, before I tell you my answer, I'm going to give you my perception of what I think baby metal is. You see, I don't really look at them as much as a band as I do a project. To me, this kind of comes off like something that a producer would put together. You had these great musicians, but they didn't have a singer. And so somebody auditioned and hired three cute little Asian chicks to get up there and sing and dance. I mean, I don't know if that's what happened, but it kind of seems that way. And I like the concept. I like when metal is mixed with something else that you don't expect. But the whole thing does seem a bit contrived. But do they rock? The band totally kicks ass. And they're fronted by cute little Asian chicks, so who can criticize that?
Nobody!
So I would say baby metal rocks.
That is freaking awful.
You know, just because I say something rocks or it's kind of cool doesn't mean I necessarily like it.
That sucked.
All right, now for a Galactic Cowboys update. It was finally announced last week, the mysterious label that we've been signed to now for over a year. For some reason, they didn't want us telling anybody. Maybe they were embarrassed to admit it. But Mascot Records has indeed signed Galactic Cowboys. And yes, I'm kidding about the embarrassed part. I think they were just kind of waiting for the right time. And so far, Ed and the cool people at Mascot Records have been very good to us. They've been very supportive so far, and they basically just said, go make a Galactic Cowboys album. And that's what we did. They didn't tell us what to do or tell us how to sound. They just told us to go do what we do. And I think we delivered them a great album. And right now, as of today, it looks like it's going to be a late fall release, maybe sometime around November. But between now and then, there's a lot that goes into marketing and promotion. And last week, I flew down to Houston, and we worked on a couple of music videos. And I know some musicians say they really hate doing videos, but I really enjoy it. I mean, I remember back before Galactic Cowboys was even a band back in the late 80s, and I'd sit at home on Saturday night watching Headbangers Ball. And I was on the sets for a few Galactic Cowboys and Testament video shoots, and I even got to be in a few of those videos, but I was always wishing it could have been my band doing it. And so once we got signed, we started making them around 1990, and I've always just had a blast performing in them. And I think it's been almost 20 years since we did one. I think the last one we did was Nothing to Say off of the At the End of the Day CD. But like usual, we had a lot of fun doing these two videos last week. We did one for a new song called Zombies. And for that, we hired a director named Jeremy Summerall. And the other one is for a new song called Internal Masquerade. And we're just putting that together ourselves. So that's stuff you can look forward to in the future. You can also keep up to date with everything on our Facebook page, Galactic Cowboys. Also, check out our website, galacticcowboys.com, where you can find new merchandise. We just recently got some new shirts, and I did the design for them.
Of course.
It's a new version of the Space in Your Face Skull Man, and they look really good. The printing turned out awesome, and I think you'll dig them.
Commercial's over.
All right, I'm going to wrap things up with a CD review, and this is one that may turn out to be my favorite album of the year. I'm pretty sure you've all heard of the band Prong, because they've been around since the mid to late 80s. And I loved them back when I heard the song Beg to Differ, and they had a video out for Prove You Wrong that was killer. But then when I moved to Kansas City in the late 90s, I met this guy named Bobby. And Bobby was a drummer, and every time I'd run into him, I'd say, "Hey, Bobby, what's up?" And he'd say, "I'm starting a band, and we're gonna sound like Prong." And I wouldn't see him again for another 4 or 5 years, and I'd run into him at a club, and I'd go, "Hey, Bobby, how's it going?" And he'd say, "Pretty good. I got a band together, and we're playing heavy stuff, kind of like Prong." So I'm pretty sure Bobby has already heard this. It's the new one from Prong. It's called 0 Days, and it rocks. This album is so good. I love the production. The guitars are just so massive in your face. And yet it's very melodic and very catchy. And so be sure to check it out. I'm going to play you one more song from it to end the show with. But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem and updates on Galactic Cowboys. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on. We'll be right back.
That was brutal.
The end.